And let us pray. By your Spirit, O God, enlighten our hearts, open our minds, fill our vision with your radiance, and give us life as we hear your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first reading this evening is from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, and I will be reading verses 1 through 13. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at midnight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. And this is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our second reading this evening is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I'll be reading verses 29 to 37. So hear again what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. The next day, John the baptizer saw Jesus coming toward him, and he declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." And the disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last night, I enjoyed some good ecumenical fellowship with our friends over at All Saints at their Mardi Gras or Fat Tuesday pancake supper. It was quite the festive atmosphere with plenty of purple and gold and green beads and decorations all over the table, and I swear there were pancakes and sausage as far as the eye could see. The chefs in the kitchen particularly were enjoying themselves, an observation I made based on both the smiles on their faces and the very prominent wine stain I saw on someone's sleeve, which apparently occurred during the cooking of the pancakes. Those Episcopalians really know how to have a good time in the kitchen. So it's significant, I think, that the next time these church members and anyone else who attended a joyful Mardi Gras celebration last night, the next time we gather together for worship, it is for a rather small and somber Ash Wednesday service like this. It's quite the dramatic shift between Mardi Gras to Ash Wednesday. But that's part of the rhythm of Lent, the feasting of Fat Tuesday and the fasting and repenting of Ash Wednesday. Fat Tuesday is this one last chance to indulge in the sweet things of life before entering the season of Lent, when we focus more on repentance and suffering. So we hear this dramatic shift and this contrast echoed in Handel's Messiah as we move from the rejoicing of his yoke is easy at the end of part one of the music piece to the mournful refrain of "Behold the Lamb of God" that begins part two. Difference? The contrast of the joyfulness and the mournfulness is this reflection of what the transition to Lent from Fat Tuesday to Ash Wednesday is really all about. And within this masterful piece of work, it also is illustrating the dawning realization in the biblical story that this Jesus, who people expect to be the king to end all kings and to come and to overthrow the government with power and majesty and glory, well, he's actually just a humble servant with little interest in being a king and overthrowing anything. He is interested in something far deeper and more significant than that, because he wants to change the course of history, but not just for the men and women and children living at that time, but rather to change the course of history for the whole world. Jesus wants to reverse the curse of sin and death, making a way for humanity to get back into a right relationship with God. Because you see, up until this point in time, the way to forgiveness that had been revealed to God's people was through sacrifices of grains and animals. We read about that particularly in the story of Passover. And we know that sacrifice required a perfect animal, unblemished, and without any defects. And this sacrifice provided temporary atonement or forgiveness for the people's sins. And the sacrifice was a very real accounting of the cost of sin, because the proper animals had to be purchased in the temple for this weekly ritual of confession and forgiveness and confession and forgiveness. But every sacrifice was followed by another sin, and then another, and another. So another sacrifice was required, and then another, and another. So Jesus was born to interrupt that cycle, to interrupt this endless rhythm of temporary sacrifices and fleeting forgiveness. Jesus is the perfect, spotless, unblemished Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. Literally, the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. And in this season of Lent, and in Handel's Messiah, we watch the story of the perfect sacrifice unfold. We know the joyfulness of the first sacrifice of the Passover lamb when the Spirit of the Lord passed over the houses of the Israelites during the plague and the death of the firstborn. So we see that sacrifice to the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin, not just of me or of us gathered here tonight, but the sin of the whole world. So no longer do we need to make sacrifice after sacrifice, because that one sacrifice was sufficient for all of our sins and the sins of everyone who will ever live on this planet. And yes, we still need to confess and repent, and that's one of the first things we do when we gather for worship every Sunday. But our forgiveness is no longer contingent upon making the right sacrifice, because that's already been taken care of for us in the sacrifice of the beloved Lamb of God. So this rhythm of confession and forgiveness, of sacrifice and assurance of pardon, this rhythm of ashes and communion shapes the life of the church and our life together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I know we tend to sometimes want to focus on the happy moments of our lives and kind of ignore the not so happy ones. We kind of like the "His yoke is easy," right? We like the Hallelujah chorus. That's the one song we probably all can sing from the Messiah. But in this season of Lent, we choose to embrace the mournfulness of "Behold the Lamb of God," which echoes the agony of Jesus' betrayal and suffering. A terrible, terrible thing but something that ultimately leads to our redemption, our permanent redemption. You simply can't understand the sweetness of salvation if you haven't tasted the bitterness of your own sin. So thanks be to God for reversing the curse of sin and death and providing a way back to him through the perfect sacrifice of the Lamb of God, who takes away not just our sin, but the sin of the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.